This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
God wants every one of us to be full of God's stories. And I have some people tell me, well, you know, God doesn't work with me that way. God works this way with every one of his kids. You say, I thought what the scripture said was, if I'm his child, I'll get spanked. Yes, it says that too. But if you are his child, what are we talking about? God's favor and provision follows revival in our hearts. I remember the day when God spoke to me and said, Jonathan, I'd love to bless you more, but I can't trust you more. I would love to bless you with more, but I can't trust you with more because all that you've been getting, you've been using for yourself. Maybe God doesn't talk to you like that. You probably don't need that message, but I needed that message at that time. Because that was a time when I was trying to scrape things together to make it happen. And God said, you can't make it happen. I'm the one that makes it happen in your life. I'm the one that provides for you. I am the one who protects you. I am the one who's overseeing your life. I'm just talking out of my heart, but we're going to get into the scriptures. God's favor and provision follows revival in our hearts. I mentioned Gus. Branovan, you know about Gus, right? You may have been the one that named it. I don't know. Kid said, this is Gus the bus. He helped me when it broke down in Atlanta, too. They said the temperatures were over 100 degrees. And we did some repairs. Gus, I told you the story. One day, Jay is saying, Dad, let's go look at a van for Andrew. I told you the story. And I want you to know the story. I'm going to keep telling the stories. Because God's stories never get old to me. Because that day I had no faith. Jay prayed. I said, son, if you have faith for a vehicle for Andrew that has a lift, then you pray. I don't have any faith for it. Don't underestimate the anointing of God on our kids. And he prayed a simple prayer. He just prayed, God, when we get there, let them have exactly what we need. And we got there, and they had exactly what we needed. But I didn't even have $100 planned to put toward a van. Nothing. And walking with the owner of the business back to his office, I was almost embarrassed to ask him because it might sound like I was interested, but I said, how much would something like this cost? If you've heard the story, you know what happened. He said $20,000. And so by the time I got to his office, my phone rang. Jay was there. He's the one that prayed, not me. My phone rang and somebody from out of state that had not talked with me about this in more than a year, at one point just said, at some point, I would like to help you get a vehicle for Andrew. This was like totally forgotten. Guy's on the phone. He said, Did you ever find a vehicle for Andrew? I'm at the car lot. I'm at the van lot. Yes, I found one. I'm here now. Will it do the job? Does it have a lift? Is it going to be economical? Is it going to last a while? Are you sure that this is what you want to do? Well, I wasn't even interested in a van. We knew we needed one, and Jay had the faith. He had the vision. He prayed. I had nothing to do with it. But this brother on the phone says, well, would $20,000 help? So when you see the white Gus the bus, that's Andrew's bus, and it's my son's faith, and it's another brother from out of state that just casually called and said, God has blessed us so much, beyond the overflow, I wanted to bless Andrew, and so here's $20,000. Now someone's going to say, well, you're just a preacher, so you have these stories. I'm not telling your story. I want you to tell your story. What I'm saying is we're looking at something that we are not able to figure out how it can be done. So it's a project of faith. It always has been. Francis Lucier was on our board for years. He's now with Jesus. But Francis was the retired CEO of Black & Decker Power Tools. Francis told me, I've never bought anything that I hadn't planned for. I've never had a late bill in my life. I've always had resources. I've always planned. I've always done everything like that. I'm sitting with the CEO of Black & Decker telling me this. And I said, Francis, I almost never have what I need to do what is on my heart. I almost never could afford it. I almost never could make it happen. It is so rare. I can never figure out what God is going to do and how He's going to do it. And Francis said, I don't know anything about that kind of a life. You know what a problem it is to have someone that has not lived and exercised faith, that has money? They think you want them to pay for it. He's sitting on the board. He thinks I'm coming after what he's got. I could care less what he has. I've sat with some very wealthy people in this town, and I'll tell you what God repeatedly tells me to tell them. I'm not interested in one of your dollars. I will never ask you for money. I'm never going to expect you to pay for anything, because I want you to know that God is my provider, and God is the one that guides us and directs us, and God takes care of us. And Francis said, well, I don't know how you expect this to happen, because you sure don't have the money, and I'm not going to finance it. I said, remember, Francis, I never expect you to pay for it. Let me say something, because I'm going to be talking about miracles and money and our God that is on the throne in 2022. It's time to do it. Don't think for a minute if you don't have a nickel to give that makes any difference to God. Maybe you have a penny. Do you know what I do, Sunshine, when I see a penny? I was at the car wash the other day. I saw a penny. I opened the door and got out of the car and got the penny. You know why? Because pennies make dollars. I remember when I used to sell pop bottles and go to St. Ange to buy hamburger to go into the meal that night. And I'd pull the wagon. I was like 6 years old. And if you had one of those big bottles, you could get a nickel out of it. And then you got 2 cents out of the glass bottles, and they would add up. And if I had enough money to get a pound of burger, then I would go down to Cone's, and Cone's had those old penny candies. They had a row of them with the glass jugs like you see in museums today. I go, what do you mean it's in a museum? That's what they had in the store when I was a kid. Fireballs. Yeah, the fireballs, the peanut butter things, the cow's tails, all those things, butterscotch, barrels. I loved all the root beer barrels, all those things. And I'd go down there and get those. I don't pass a penny up. So I don't want anyone to feel like that I am looking for you to do anything. I'm looking to God to do everything. And I want you to share your stories. Because God has done things in your life that you did not make happen. And the watching world needs to see again what it means for us to live by faith and trust God. Because I didn't live in those days, in those places, but I read about the days when Pentecostal churches were on the other side of the tracks. And they were called holy rollers. And people thought they were crazy. And we didn't have the best seats, and we didn't have the best buildings, and we didn't have a lot of the sound systems and stuff that are out today. The Pentecostal churches didn't have the best show in town. They didn't have the best dressed preachers. They didn't have the millionaires sitting all over the place, but they had the power of God. And even people who didn't believe in Pentecost like they did would say they know how to get a hold of God. That though we're all in air-conditioned places and it's nice, we need to remember that it's not about our programs, our shows, and our buildings. It's about the presence and the power of God, or else we should just go home. Because I was reading where God said, cut out the ceremonies, cut out the sacrifices, cut out your fancy songs, because I'm not there. You're living in the world, you're living in idolatry, and I don't want to receive your stuff. And God is not calling us to be a Taj Mahal and a crystal cathedral. He's calling us to individually demonstrate who God is. Haggai. Go to Haggai. All right, we are in chapter 1. We glanced at this a little bit the other day. But there's some things going on here that I think are relevant. Verse 3, so the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? Now I'm not going to read all of it because of the shortness of time. Verse 7, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Consider now how things are going for you now. And there's three things here. Go up to the hills, bring down the lumber, and rebuild my house. Now that sounds like work. Go up to the mountain. That's before chainsaws, Larry. And sunshine. You all come to my house and bring a chainsaw and help me cut things down. Before that, God is saying, I want you to get your hands involved in building my house. And let me tell you, Herman went with me to put the signs up this morning. We've had people trying to find us, and they couldn't find us because there are no signs out. And there were no signs out because the signs were in this room, and they're right up against that wall, and they've been in there chilling. That's a deep freeze. If you want to get cooled off, go in this room. It's a deep freeze. Signs have been chilling. So Herman went out with me to put the signs out, and he had something to share with me. And as we're walking, he shared with me, he found something that's going to be beneficial for us, I believe. And he helped me put the signs out. And you know what? To me, that's the same thing as climbing the mountain, cutting the wood, and rising up and building. It's all part of what needs to be done. So when I have people say, Jonathan, I drove around for 30 minutes, I couldn't find the church. Is there anybody in here who tried to find this building? Okay, here's one lady. Yeah. 3 months. Couldn't find the place. It's hard to find. We've been hard to find for so long. It's going to be crazy when we actually are on a main corner. I mean, people go, how? I have people ask me this question. How do people find you? Well, they don't unless the Holy Spirit leads them. We were in a shopping center how long? We couldn't even put a sign out. We put a sign on the building. Nope, take it down. Finally, we were able to get something up. That's a big deal, Herman. So you say, well, I don't have dollars to give. I went to sit down this morning and somebody's trying to, and I know who it is, is sweetening me up so I'll be a sweeter pastor. Good luck. Thank you, sunshine. So in my coffee is sitting there, and then there's this little plate with some sweetie delights on there. Somebody's taking care of me and blessing me. That's a blessing. We can do that for each other. Didn't cost anything extra. What I'm saying is, don't think you have to do some big public demonstrative thing to honor God in your life and in your service. Whatever you do and you're able to do is all that God asks you to do. God never asks us to do what He is not going to help us to do. And I found out from Jose, that one right there, that guy, I think he was trying to take me on Panama aerobics. Panamanian Pentecostal aerobics. We're going up a little mountain and we're going to be preaching up there. And you're going to need to bring a change of clothes because you're going to be sweaty when you get there. And we were, I don't know if Jay remembers, we went to take a shower in the stream. We didn't know anybody was following us. My brother Jose took me there. And the trees started giggling. Once I had my clothes off to get my shower, and Jay is with me and we're showering from this dripping pipe, and then we're going to have church, and those people that were in the trees are going to be sitting in the seats. And I'm thinking, God, I read about this in some missionary book, but I am too young to be experiencing this. Watch out when you get with Jose. And I thought the tough part was over getting up there until we're going to try to come down off this mountain. And I could not stand up. It was just downhill. That's all I can tell you. And it was filled with rocks like marbles. And I'm slipping and sliding. And there's somebody of Jose's who has on $1 flip-flops. I wouldn't have worn those out in the front yard. He's walking in those on these rocks. He grabbed me by the arm and literally carried me down the mountain. And I did not cooperate because he had the flashlight. And I found out that the flashlight followed his steps, not my steps. It didn't matter. It was black as it could be. And he would take a step. He could see where he was going. I couldn't see where my feet were going. I'm rolling all over the place. I'm like a stuffed animal. And he's carrying me down the mountain. And I learned that night that I need to walk in my light and you need to walk in your light. And I must not hold you accountable for what God has done in me. And don't you hold me accountable for what God's doing in me. You say, well, how does that make sense? The way it makes sense is that when we come together as a body of believers, we're at the cross and there's no preference over education. Ooh, that guy's really smart over there. Well, hallelujah. That doesn't put you on the elders' team. You have to have the Holy Spirit and be full of wisdom. Be anointed to be there. Well, that family, they're really well-to-do. That doesn't put you on the elders' team. Doesn't put you on the board. Well, that man, he knows all about what you need to do. Well, hallelujah. Is he a man of faith? The church is to be led by the Holy Spirit. Not by carnal minds and carnal wisdom. The church is to be led by the Holy Spirit. And this is what God is calling us to. Three things. Told you I'd get into the Word. Go up, bring down, and rebuild my house. 2021, my devotional notes. I hope you do this. In my Bible, can you see all that writing there? You don't need to see what it says, but it's just writing. All on this page. When you're with God, write down what God's saying to you. Journal. It's important. Sunshine, you've been doing this for years. It's so important. I have on my bookcase rows of college notebooks like this that are full of my God notes. I'm not leaving this for somebody else to read. You can read and see where I've been walking with God. I believe we should do that. I believe that Jesus takes me home today, that my wife and my sons should be able to go into my journal with God today and find out where the two of us were walking. Hello? There should be some kind of a trail, don't you think? If we're men and women of God, if God, you're with God, write it down because it matters. Father, I can do nothing on this morning. I can do nothing unless you have so decreed it. If it's not your will, it's not going to happen. Unless you have decreed it and have released your Spirit to accomplish the same. That's sort of like that scripture, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The lessons on the floor. Yeah, I was at Victory Assembly, associate assistant, youth pastor, children's pastor. I was all kinds of things there. But one day God knocked me out and I was laying on the floor and I didn't even believe in it. You know, I thought everybody's being pushed, you know, and I'm on the floor, and I'll never forget after however long it was, doesn't matter, it was a long time. And I met Jesus. Let me tell you, I met Jesus. I had a vision of Jesus. It's like from the waist down. And anything I asked, God answered. And it was an awesome time with God. I pray that you all have those God encounters, because you'll never forget them, and they'll change your life, and you'll be a different person. And nobody will be able to change the course of your walk, because God will have so seared His fingerprint into your life that you can't live without it. The lesson I got from the floor was, you know, get up. Jonathan, go ahead and get up. I couldn't get up. Raise a leg. I couldn't move my leg. Raise your arm. I couldn't move my arm. Raise a finger. Finally down to a finger. I could not move one finger. And God says, that's what you can do without me. Nothing. Nothing. That was my lesson on the floor. Jonathan, I want you to remember that all of your life I've carried you. I brought you to this point. You're alive because I have protected you. I'm not finished with you yet. That's why you're still alive. And you will not be able to accomplish anything apart from me. And it was a good lesson from the floor. And I trust you've had a lesson from the floor like that too. Yeah, that was the lesson. That morning, this was a year ago. That morning I wrote, unless you stir enthusiasm in me, how will I or anyone else have vision to build and possess the land? And I was just crying out to God. I said, God, if you don't give me enthusiasm and vision to do this, well, guess what? I wanted to shout all morning because God is doing that. It was a year ago. I said, God, unless you prepare me and your people for this work, how can it be done? We can observe our limits, our limitations, without God's anointing. We can observe and catalog our losses and our lacks and what it's going to take and what it's going to cost and all of that. And part of that is counting the cost. We can evaluate our priorities and what we're able to do. I mean, God was just talking to me and I'm just writing. Had no plans of ever sharing this. Or, because I just read that scripture right there about going up, bringing down and rebuilding. Or, we can obey by beginning to go up, bring down, and rebuild the Father's house. And so I said, Father, I want to do that. I want to do that.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Nothing is impossible.